trying to get this stuff out of my eyes so I can see. Guys, what I want you to understand today is childhood is not a limbo time. Childhood is not a time for kids just to not learn anything. Childhood is a special time that Yahweh has given each person. And He's given us as parents the responsibility to put things of value into our children to prepare them for life. And if we fail, then our children go into life not knowing what to expect, not knowing how to combat the forces of evil that they will come in contact with on a daily basis. So the title of this message is, My Son, Be Wise. Proverbs 27 and verse 11 says this, My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. And verse 12, A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And I've got some overhead points, so those of you in the sound booth, if you'll just kind of keep track of where we're at. Third John 1 and verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the light. Yesterday, I went to Birmingham, and when I got there to get loaded, on my way back, when I got there, an old man that's been in the trucking business for about 40-something years was there getting loaded as well. And so we traveled back together because our destination was the same. And along that ride, if anybody was on the CB, Channel 22, I was inspired by that man's testimony. And sometimes when we go through life, you come in contact with someone and it's a divine appointment. And yesterday, coming back from Birmingham, I didn't know the character of the man that I was riding with. But by the time I got to Loosedale, we were friends for eternity. 40 years ago, that man was a Catholic. But he was in church every week because he said his parents made sure that he understood that in order not to go to church, you had to be in a bad way. And he said, so we went to church whether we wanted to or not. And he said, I was out in the middle of nowhere. He said, I didn't have somebody lead me to the Lord or anything like that. He said, the Lord led me to Him. And he said, and He ignited in me 40 years ago a hunger and a desire for His Word. He said, I had a seventh grade education, and I can't stand to read. But he said, every morning, I can't stand not to read God's Word. He said, 40 years later, that desire is still the strongest thing in my life. This man's close to 80 years old. And for all that time, the Father has kept that hunger alive in his life. And He has fanned those flames, and He has fed those flames, and He has fed that desire. And that desire has gotten stronger in his life as he's gotten older. What a testimony. What a testimony of what Yahweh can do. I was inspired just doing my regular job. And the scripture says someplace, and I can't remember exactly what the reference is, but it says, I, being in the way, Yahweh led me. And the thing is, a lot of people will go out and they'll try to witness and they'll knock on doors. I had an encounter with a Jehovah's Witness not long ago, and they came and knocked on their doors. And I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. But the way you conduct your business builds a reputation for you that you can't escape. And the way that you conduct your family, the way that you, these are things that people know about you that you may never know that they know about you. And those are the things that I hope to instill in my children as they grow, is who you are is what defines you. Not who you want to be, not who you're trying to be, but who you are. So I want my children to live in the present, but I also want them to plan for the future. Don't get so focused on the future or on the past that you can't enjoy the present. But in the present, there's things that we need to learn. So what are some of those things? So one of the things that I have here is I've got two props. I want to show you something that I found very interesting. If you want light, now the scripture tells us to walk as children of light. If you want light to go further and to shine brighter and to be more precise, you don't block it, you focus it. So what I've got here, on the one hand, is I've got a pretty bright flashlight. Everybody see that? But I've got another light in my hand that I can't shine in your eyes without causing damage, because it is so focused and it's so bright that it would literally damage your eyesight. Look at the ceiling. That's a bright light. The point that I'm trying to make is, in the scriptures, there's a few don't commandments. And those are important. Just like with that laser, it's got a tube. It is contained. But there are more do commandments in the scriptures than there are don't commandments. And I think what he's trying to show to us is, this is how I want you to live. Focus yourself. Be intentional. Do this to please me. These are the things I want you to do. And as we focus our children's energies, you know, how much time did Jackson put in to learning how to play that violin? And I want to tell y'all, that had nothing to do with me. He took that on himself. He came to me and he said, I want to play the violin. And I made just a couple of statements to him. I said, look, if you want to play the violin, that's fine. But if I pay for lessons, you make it worth my money. And I'm here to say today, so you don't block light and box it in. If you want it to shine brighter and go further, you focus it. Now, bar mitzvah is simply a Hebrew term that means son of the commandments. And I want to get into a little bit of numbers and things like that to kind of define why we choose to do this with our sons. Daughters have a bat mitzvah, a daughters of the commandment ceremony. But it's a little bit different, because with sons, you're setting them forth. With daughters, you're covering them. So the roles are different between sons and daughters. Now, from earliest times in Egypt and Babylon, training in craft skills was organized to maintain an adequate number of craftsmen. The Code of Hammurabi of Babylon, which dates back to the 18th century before Common Era, required artisans to teach their crafts to the next generation. Historically, apprenticeship lasted 7 years, after which a person became a journeyman. Now, the term journeyman actually comes from the French, and David can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe journey is the word for day. Is that right? That's right. So, a journeyman is one who can be paid by the day. Now, what happens if you don't give a man a day's work? You're not going to have the job very long. So, a journeyman was a skilled craftsman who could work by the day. He was in demand. One reason for apprenticeship, which also led to craft guilds in Europe, was to ensure that the new entrants into a craft had adequate skill to do their work. So what does it mean to give a son or a daughter adequate skill to live life? Because that's really what the focus is here today, is for those of you that are parents, and for those of you that want to be parents, what are some of the keys that we can look at in child development, in the way their brains develop, in the way that they operate, and then drawing also from the knowledge of other men who are much wiser and much smarter than I. So one of the things that I've got written down here is when there is a breakdown of the family, young people of both genders no longer become trained in their roles. And I would submit to you that that's one of the reasons why we have such an epidemic of alphabet individuals in this country, to where they've gotten to the point to where they choose which side of the gender pool they're on from day to day. That's not natural and that's not normal. But if you don't teach them any different while they're growing up, then what can you expect? And if a father is never there to input into his children, then how can his children know what's expected of a father? And if a mother is never there to respect her husband and to dote on her children, and one of the things that I believe has happened in this society in the last 40 years is we've gotten so interested in money and things and stuff that in order to survive, most families have both the mother and the father working. And when that happens, then the children get farmed out to daycare. And what does the scripture say? It says, he that walks with wise men will be wise. How many children at daycare that are inputting into your children's life are wise? Because they don't have the foundation yet to be wise. So childhood is not a limbo time. The first 2 years of a child's life, that child will only do what they are allowed to do. The number two, and the reason for that, is they have no basis or life experience for making decisions other than what their parents are currently teaching them. And we have an almost two-year-old. And the only thing that she knows is what she's allowed to do and what she's not allowed to do. Now, she has some opinions about things that she likes or doesn't like, I can assure you. And she will assure you as well, very quickly. But she knows what she's allowed to get away with and what she's not allowed to get away with based on what we have permitted in the last 2 years of her life. So when people say that they've got a child that has terrible twos, what have you taught that child up until now? Have they been allowed to throw a temper tantrum the whole time, every time you tell them no? They'll probably have some terrible twos. But if you've put a stop to that the first time it ever happened, then by the time they get to two, the likelihood of them just going on the floor and kicking and screaming is pretty small. Because by that time, they've established those patterns in their life. So the number two is the number for division or separation. So all a child knows by two is do or don't do. From about 3 to 5 years old, children can memorize and retain facts, although their ability to reason and abstract thought is not yet fully developed. If anybody doubts that, I can bring Yoshi up and have him recite some scriptures that he has known for several years. That's evidence that a child can retain and memorize. Now, I'm not saying that they can't retain and memorize earlier than that, but what I am saying is, in that time frame, we need to be putting as much of God's word into those little minds as what we can. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish in childhood a basis for the future decisions that they're going to make. And we're trying to input wisdom and data into them that they'll be able to draw from and base decisions on down the road. So the best thing that we can put into them to give them that foundation is God's word. And they can memorize that kind of stuff. If you set scripture to songs, you know, there's still songs that my dad made up when we were children that I can still remember word for word those scripture verses. And that's one of the reasons why we can't the blessings, is because we don't want to be able to forget them. So 3 is the number for divine authority. And that's why I think that in that time frame is the best time to start talking to them about one of the things that we've about God's word and about God's plan for their lives. One of the things that we've done with our children is in that time frame, we ask them repeatedly if they do something wrong, why did you do that? And invariably, at some point, they'll say, I don't know, I just did it. To which our answer is this, I can tell you why you did that.
Why?
Because you have inherited a wicked, unregenerate heart from me, which I inherited from my father, which goes all the way back to Adam and his sin. Now, there's a way that you can fix that. And that is by asking Yeshua to come in and change that wicked heart. And when you get ready to stop being bad for no reason, you need to ask him to come in and change that unregenerate, wicked heart and give you a new heart that will make you want to do right instead of making you want to do evil. And so there you have the salvation message from 3 to 5. And all of our children, on their own, so far, down to Ziva, have come out and told us, Dad, I'm so tired of being bad. I went and I asked Yahweh to, or Mom, I went and I asked Yahweh to change my heart. And I asked Yeshua to come into my heart and make it new. And when you have a child come to you at 5 and 6 years old, sobbing because they've had a salvation experience and you had nothing to do with it, you can probably bet that's real. And I'm so grateful for the background that I've had that has taught me to share those things with my children early. Abstract thought begins somewhere around age 5. And it is critical to good choices that God's word is pumped into each little mind so that the Bible becomes the basis for decision making by their age of 12 or 13. While our 7 or 8, respectively, or I should say 8 or 7, respectively, is the number for new beginnings and or the number for completion. And so what you have is as these children, once they get into this 12 and 13 age bracket, 12 for girls, 13 for boys, what you have is the turning of a page. Their childhood is now, by and large, complete. Physically, they change. They start to develop into young adults. One of the goals that we have is, I hear people talking all the time, and they talk about raising their kids. And when they get to 20 and 25 years old, I just can't figure out why he ain't doing nothing. I done raised my kids to do better than that. Well, that might be the problem. If you raised your kids instead of turning them into adults, then maybe they're still acting like what you raised them to be. And I'm not preaching to people here. These are things that, as I studied, I realized how much work I have to do. And I realized how important it is that I continue to take this very seriously. You get one shot at your child's young ages. One shot. And they get one shot at life. And I think that's why he calls them arrows. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. Now, anybody that's done any bow hunting knows that it's not a light thing to pull back a bow that has any kind of force once it gets out where you want it to go. The faster your arrow, the more effort you've got to put into pulling back that bow. The more effort you put into pulling back a bow, the more practice you have to use to develop that strength. There was a man who designed and made recurve, hand-hewn recurve bows. That's what he did all his life. And at the end of his life, he built himself a bow. And the draw weight on the bow was somewhere around 120 pounds. Now, for those of you that bow hunt, you know that most people shoot about a 60 or 70 pound draw weight. And it takes some effort. A lot of people start down like this, and they pull opposing to get past the leverage, and then they put the bow up to shoot. But with a recurve, you can't do that. It's raw strength and muscle because you're pulling straight across your body and releasing the arrow. To do that consistently, over and over, with a handmade bow, that takes a lot of strength. When our children are young, long before the age of 12, they need to learn how to interact with others, respect authority and property that's not theirs, and deny their own personal will and appetites. One of the things that was always a kind of a thing to me in our house, is when they're in their high chair and they're kicking and screaming because they're hungry and they're pitching a fit and all of the above, I would look at my children and I would say, your mother is not your slave. You can choose to stop that until she gets to you, or we can go and have a session and you'll still have to stop that. Mothers are not their children's slaves. Now, mothers are there to meet their children's needs, but a child that is never taught to wait is going to have that mentality all through their life. We set these patterns up for them, how we want them to be. And that's why I say live in the present, but plan for the future. You know, living in the present, I understand you're hungry. I will get to you in a minute. The food is not done. But if I give you a cookie now, it will ruin your appetite for the good food that's coming. So these are things that we've got to take serious when our children are little, even in their high chairs. And then from 13 to 20 is a period for adulthood apprenticeship. 8 years from 13 to 20, 8 years is the number for a new beginning. Now, I chose 20 because, biblically speaking, that was the number at which young men were allowed to go to war. The scripture also says, first make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. Now, there's an awful lot of things that people in that age bracket are capable of. And I'm going to draw a little bit of attention to Torrington here. How old are you, Torrington? Torrington's 18 years old. We're building a house. And Torrington, Coleman, Jackson, and Levi have done over 90% of the work on the house that we're building. From footers to putting up concrete forms to bracing the forms so that the walls would be straight. And these boys, you know, if you try to start a business after you have a family, after you have a house payment, after you have all these things, and you know that your hard bills are $800 a week, then the minimum that you can make is $1,000 a week. But while these boys have their knees under somebody else's table, for them to be able to get out and learn trades and be able to start things young, as they go in the strength of that, there's a possibility that by the time they need a house, that they could actually have a business established. Coleman has a desire to cut hair. That's something that the Father's given him. It's a gift that he has that he discovered as he was trying to decide what he wanted to do with his life. And so Coleman is already at 16 building clients. So it's not out of the question. When you start a business, it usually takes about 5 years for it to take off. It's not out of the question that Coleman will have enough clients in 5 years that he could actually be making a living for himself, by himself. And if he's the boss, how much trouble is he going to have taken off for the feasts and the Sabbaths? If he's calling the shots, that's his decision. He doesn't have people putting pressure on himself if he's the one making those decisions. There's freedom in that if the Father calls someone to having their own business. We formally recognize the beginning of this period from 13 to 20 so that our sons and daughters consciously think about their need to prepare for life on their own. So one of the things that I did is I wrote down a few things. This is specifically for Jackson. I wrote down a few things that I want you to consider during this time period. Understand that your actions have consequences. That's going to stay with you from here on out. It's something that I need to have established in my home before he's gotten to this age, but it's something that you need to understand for the rest of your life. Your actions have consequences. Genesis 2 and verse 8, it says, "And Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Man's disobedience caused Yahweh to throw him out, shed blood, and curse the ground. Those are some pretty serious consequences. But one consequence is, he couldn't continue acting like nothing happened, so he had to throw him out. The second is, man had destroyed his relationship with Yahweh, so he had to make provision for that to be healed. And he had to demonstrate with the shedding of blood of a lamb that salvation was coming in the form of his lamb, Yeshua, for our salvation. And then the third thing is he cursed the ground for Adam's sake. And the reason that he cursed the ground for Adam's sake is because we are made of dirt. This is one reason. There's many, I'm sure. But one reason that he cursed the ground for Adam's sake is because we are made of dirt. And the scripture says, according to the parable of the sower, that God's word is the seed. God, Yahweh, was walking with Adam in the cool of the day and planting his word in Adam's mind. And Adam yielded bad fruit back to Yahweh, fruit that Yahweh didn't plant in Adam's mind. And so every time Adam would see a thistle or a thorn or a weed, he would remember, "I didn't plant this, but I have to deal with it." And he would remember, "Yahweh didn't plant disobedience in my mind, but he got a yield that he didn't plant." And so every time as you garden, as you plant things, when you see a weed, remember that those weeds are to remind us that Yahweh doesn't plant weeds in our lives. He plants fruit. He plants things that are productive in our lives. And if we have bad fruit in our lives, it didn't come from Him or His Word. So that's what those things, and Yahweh watches us. Understand that Yahweh is actively watching what you do, both for good and for evil. Psalm 10:13 says, "The wicked has said in his heart, you will not require an account." And he says, the wicked has said in his heart, there is no God. But yet we're so intuitively wired to understand that there is a God, that the wicked man, even though he says in his heart, there is no God, but yet he turns around and he says, he has said in his heart, you will not require an account. So he chooses to believe there's not a God, but then he turns around and talks to somebody that he doesn't believe in. So out of the same person that's choosing not to believe, he still is talking back to the authority figure that he chooses not to believe. And it would be the same thing as you saying, you're not my dad. You didn't give birth to me, and you're not watching what's going on whenever DNA evidence shows that I am. This knowledge is the premise for desiring to be righteous. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 are both the same verse. And it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, in Genesis 6:5 is another evidence that Yahweh watches over men both for good and for evil. And it says this, Genesis 6:5, and Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is right before the flood. Yahweh's paying attention. He knows what's going on in our minds. Genesis 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Now this just pops up out of nowhere if you read the scriptures. It says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with Elohim. Now, that means that the eyes of Yahweh are going throughout the earth to show himself strong on whoever's heart is perfect toward him. That man I was speaking with yesterday on the way back from Birmingham left out of Grand Bay, Alabama, went all the way to Birmingham, dumped his trailer, and while his trailer, he's got a 39-foot end dump just like mine, dumped his trailer, and when it was all the way at the top, the trailer, and he went to pull forward out from under his load, the trailer came unhooked off of his fifth wheel. And he told me, he said, Steve, he said, the only thing I can explain to you is that Yahweh was in my business yesterday. He said, because he had to have kept that trailer latched all the way up there. He said, I slowly let it down. And he said, we got it unhooked off of the truck. And when we looked, he said, there was a malfunction with the kingpin. He said, I don't know how I made it up there without it unhooking on the road. He said, and me driving 70 miles an hour up to Birmingham, I would not want to be in business without him holding my hand. Understand, this is another point for young men. Understand stewardship. What is the value of money, and what is it supposed to be used for? You're a steward. The things that you have is something that others have given you. The things that I have is something that others have given me. People have contracted with me to do work. They give me the income. He has provided the work. Yahweh himself has provided the work. But you need to understand where money comes from and what it's meant to be used for. It's not designed just to be blown and splurged and all of that. There's specific things that you will need money for in this life. You need to understand those things during this time frame. You need to be putting back for land, for a house, to support a wife. These are things that you need to think about as you go through this training for adulthood. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And the scripture says that if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful with much. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says this, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" And then here's another point that we really all need to understand, and that's this. You were created with two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately. You were created with two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately. If you listen twice as much as you talk, by the end of your life, you'll probably know some things. Proverbs 9 and verse 9 says, "Teach a just man, and he will be still wiser." Proverbs 28 and verse 20, it says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." Don't play the lottery. Work hard, be faithful, be steady. And then another point for young men. Watch in your life for what interests and abilities that you have, that Yahweh has given you, that could be marketable talents. And what I mean by that is, let me read out of Exodus 31 in verse 1. "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of Elohim in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship.'" So Yahweh gives us talents in the field that He wants us to pursue. Now, all my life, all I've ever wanted to do was operate equipment and smell diesel smoke. And I know that sounds funny, but really and truly, anytime I've ever done anything else other than been on a dozer or a tractor or a 18-wheeler or whatever, I've always wished that I could be doing something with an engine. Yahweh gives abilities for a reason. There are people that all their life they want to be a fireman. There are people that all their life they want to be a preacher. There are people that all their life, whatever it is. But pray and seek the Father and pay attention in your life to what things you enjoy doing that could be profitable. And that is where you want to make your living in. Because the scripture says this, Proverbs 22 and verse 29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." Now I can tell you, just like singers, just like football players, just like any other vocation, there's a ton of people doing it. There's a few people that are good at it. And the people that are good at it are the people that are pursuing their passion. And a lot of times, they're the ones that if they had any choice to be doing anything in the world, what they're doing for a living is what they would choose to do with their free time. Those people are really, really good at what they do because the Father has gifted them to do what they're doing. And in closing, live in the present, but plan for the future. And Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says this, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." So the reason that you live in the moment and plan for the future is so that you don't get carried away in the moment with doing things that will damage what you want to accomplish down the road. And one of the things that I did, a mistake that I made, years ago, there were two vehicles that I had the opportunity to buy. One of them was an 18-wheeler, and somebody had told me, you could rent this on with me, and it can make you money while you're gone. The other one was a Jeep, and it turned into a money pit, and I actually had to borrow almost the same amount of money for my first house, for the trailer that we live in. I almost had to borrow as much for that to get the land pushed and all of that as what I spent on that Jeep. If I would have bought the 18-wheeler instead, same initial purchase cost, that thing would have been making money while I was gone because it would have been leased on to somebody else's fleet. So those are things that you need to think about as you go from here, is what business opportunities and what things can I be doing that will prepare myself for the future. So with that being said, I want to thank you for receiving instruction. And as you go forward from here, I'm commissioning you into manhood apprenticeship. And I'm asking the audience here that if you see Jackson doing things that men wouldn't do, that you would remind him, what are you trying to develop into? And so that's your part, and that's his part, is to listen. So I thank you for applying yourself. I thank you for the violin. And if you'll close this out for us by reading the portion of your the time that you were born, you can come up and read that for me now. The Torah portion for the time of your birth. You can come up, Jackson. I just want to say too, while it's loading for him there, these are things that are targets that give us something to shoot for. Because if you don't have anything to shoot for, you will be sure to hit it squarely in the middle.
The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighbors placing in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and in the seacoasts, to the land of the Canaanites and to the Lebanon. As far as the great river, the river Euphrates, see, I have set the land before you. Go and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, alone, I am not able to bear the burden. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. May the Lord God, your fathers, make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless as he has promised you.
Thank you. That was the portion for the time of his birth.